Amen to that. Victory in Jesus. If you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to continue where we left off last week in looking at, I guess we could call it continuing where we left off last week and looking at Jesus and as he's walking in the beginning of his ministry. Jesus, in a quick overview of last week, he walked down to the Lake of Garnet. He was teaching and he walked up to the shore and seeing a great multitude, he got into a boat. And the boat belonged to Peter. And Peter and his crew had just come in from all night fishing and they're tired. And Jesus said, "Push out, take me out into the water a little bit." And so we talked about how you need to be ready to do ministry when you're tired. Even when you're tired, Jesus calls us into ministry. And so we talked about how you need to be ready to do ministry when you're tired. And so Peter pushed out. And then after Jesus taught Peter, Jesus said to Peter, "I want you to go out into the deep and cast your net out and catch fish." And Peter said, "Well, but you know, I'm the expert, Lord, and I've already fished all night, and we caught nothing, and who are you? You're just some guy that got in the boat, and I pushed you out here to do some teaching, and now you're telling me to go do some fishing, and I'm the expert fisherman, and you're just some guy." But Peter listened, and he did what he said, because he said, "At your word, I will fish." I added the "I will fish" part. But I'm sure that's what he's thinking. Okay, your word, I'll fish. Because that's what he did. He cast the net over the side. And the Bible tells us that he caught so much fish that he had to call his partners out to help. And they caught so much fish that both the boats begin to sink. See, when we do what God tells us to, in his obedience, blessings come. Now, last week I made a statement that I have to correct. I made a statement last week in the illustration of blessings that was incorrect. And the statement was that when I got ready to go to Romania, that nobody offered assistance to go, and that was incorrect. There was one person that offered assistance to go to on my trip, and at that time, all the funds had really been already offered, and I told that person at that time I didn't need any more assistance because we didn't know the full cost of the trip yet. But that didn't take away from the illustration that I gave you last week. I needed to make that correction. And I make that apology. I forgot that. That person corrected me, and I stand corrected. We forget sometimes all the things that happen when they happen months later. I'm not above being wrong. Amen. Why are you all pretty well agree in that pretty fast? But it happens. But listen, when we're obedient to God in his word, blessings can come. It doesn't always come in big things like that in the catching of the fish, but blessings will come. But we have to be obedient to God. And so Peter was obedient. But here's the real key. That when Peter saw what happened, Peter recognized that he was not worthy to stand in the presence of who Jesus really was. He recognized in that moment that Jesus was God. And he said, "I am a sinner." He said, "I am a sinful man." That was the title of the message last week. "I am a sinful man." He said, "I am a sinful man." And he said, really, he was saying, "I can't stand in your presence. I'm a sinful man." And it was at that moment that Jesus said, "I will make you a fisher of men instead of a fisher of fish. And we find that at the end, when they come back into shore, that Peter does something, and so does James and John, that they leave everything and follow Jesus. Now we would describe that maybe as absolute surrender. You might look at that in the light of Matthew 16:24, that says that Jesus says, if you want to come after me, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And how do you deny yourself but forsake everything and follow me? And Peter has a great fishing business. Look, he just caught a whole load of fish. I think I'd have hired Jesus on. Make him half partner. But Jesus says, follow me. And Peter leaves everything behind and follows Christ. And then we find this next situation that takes place in this passage of Scripture. In verse 12, it's kind of like a side note, as Jesus is finding disciples, but in his ministry things are taking place, and we find these here in verses 12, and I read it to you out of Mark. You actually have in your bulletin the passage out of Matthew, because you find this same event taking place in three of the Gospels. I wanted you to see it in all three of them, and so I gave it to you. I read it to you out of one. We're going to read it out of Luke, and I printed it for you out of Matthew. If you stand with me this morning, I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16 this morning. And honor of God's Word. Starting in verse 12, it says, while he was in one of the towns, a man was there who had a serious skin disease all over him. He saw Jesus and he fell face down and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing, be made clean. And immediately the disease left him. Then he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show himself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But the news about him spread evermore, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But he often withdrew to desolate places and prayed. We find that this man came to Jesus and begged him to be clean. Notice here that he fell face down and begged him, Lord, if you will, make me clean. Full of disease. Peter said, I am a sinful man in verse 8. Sin is a disease. Leprosy is a disease. We are full of disease. We come before God with a disease, crying out, will we be made clean? Our great God and Father in heaven, as we search this scripture this morning, as we ask ourselves the question about obedience or disobedience, that is the question. May you move in our hearts and in our minds and in our life this morning to help us to understand what we need to do and where we need to go. How we need to listen to you. Oh God, we have strayed so far in the wrong direction. Lord, it is time that we recenter, that we come back to the right place. Because until we come back to the right place, we are destined for failure. Lord, we ask for Your guidance now. We ask for Your wisdom to fall upon us. We ask for Your Spirit to move in our hearts and our minds. We ask for You to come and dwell us, speak to us, move in our hearts now, Lord. We thank You and we praise You in Your great precious name. Amen. You may be seated. In December of this year, in 2016, December 1st, I'll be retired from the military, 10 years. It's hard to believe that it'll be 10 years. Of course, just last week, I was married 30 years. That's pretty hard to believe, too. And so 10 years, I was just trying to think here how long ago it's been. And so I left Barksdale Air Force Base in 1997. So that's been 20 years. It's about 25 years, let's say 25 years ago, 26 years ago or so, when I was working on B-52s, I had the opportunity to fly on those airplanes. Those airplanes have a very unique feature that every airplane in the civilian fleet has today. Every commercial airliner has this feature today, and they got it from military airplanes. They got it from B-52s specifically, and it's called a crosswind crab. And I know that's a weird name. It doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but I'll explain it to you very quickly. And what that means is a crosswind. Y'all know what a crosswind is? A crosswind. How many of you ride motorcycles or ever ridden a motorcycle? You ever ride a motorcycle? How many of you drive a car? Yes. We all drive cars, right? You ever drive down the road, have a wind shear come by and hit you and just move your car? You can feel that, right? Yes, shake your head. You've all had that happen to you. You ride a motorcycle, you really feel that on a motorcycle. That's called a crosswind. And if you get into a real strong wind, you can really feel that. I've driven a motorcycle where I've had to lean into the wind and you're like, dude, that's just crazy. But you do it. In an airplane, it's even worse. It's not bad when you're flying, but when you're landing, it's a real problem. It's a real problem. What the crosswind crab does for an airplane, and I'm going to illustrate it with the Bible, ironically enough. But you normally would want to land straight like this, but what the crosswind crab does is it allows the plane to turn up to 35 degrees off the angle of the air, off the runway, let's be the runway. It allows the airplane to turn to a 35 degree angle, these are the wings, like this, and land. The landing gear are pointed at the runway, but the nose of the airplane would be pointed that direction there. When those landing gear hit the runway, as soon as the landing gear hit the runway, it immediately snaps the plane straight around like this. Now, if that ain't a weird feeling when you're flying, but the commercial airliners do the same thing. You just don't know it as the passenger. But they do that. They do that same thing. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that, and I give you that illustration for a particular reason. Because in our life, we do that same thing. We are like that many times, that we're in a crosswind. We're moving down a path that we think is correct, but we're in a crosswind where we're being blown off course. But we don't have this crosswind crab to direct us back, to snap us back on the path. We don't have that particular crosswind crab feature that we can just sit there and turn a knob and all of a sudden, kaboom, we're back on path. We'd like to think we have that feature. We like to think that we can just veer off the path whenever we want to, do whatever we want to, and then whenever we think that everything is all hunky-dory, we can just hit this button over here, you know, the reset button, right? We've heard about the big reset button. We can just hit this reset button and then everything's all hunky-dory. That's not how it works. We find in this passage of Scripture here in the Bible that this man with a serious skin disease came to Jesus and he fell down, face down, and he begged him. In the ESV, in Mark, it said that he had leprosy. The King James would tell you it was leprosy. In verse 41, in the ESV, it says, in Mark, it says that he was moved with pity. In the King James, it would say he was moved with compassion. That Jesus felt compassion on this man. Jesus has compassion for you, and he has compassion for me. He loves each and every one of us. That he came, this is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he came for each and every one of us. He came so that each and every one of us could have eternal life. When he saw this man, and this man came face down before him, and he said, Lord, please help me. I need cleansing. I am unjust. Just like Peter, when Peter said, I am a sinful man. Lord, I am sinful. And Jesus said, you will no longer fish for fish, but you'll fish for men. Jesus had compassion on Peter just as much as he had compassion on Peter. He had compassion on this man that had a physical ailment. And Jesus has that same compassion on you. And when you're walking down that path, that wrong direction path, Jesus is watching that. And the only thing that can correct that path is Jesus. But here's what we've done. We have made it in our mind that we can correct that path somehow. We have facilitated in our mind that somehow we can correct that path. We have said in our mind that we can correct that path by if I just go to church enough. I can correct that path if I just read my Bible enough. I can correct that path if I just pray enough. I can correct that path if I just give enough money to the church. I can correct that path if I just do enough good deeds. I can correct that path if I do. If listen, the only way to correct that path is to fall face down before Christ. Because He's the only one that will have compassion on you. The man cried out and said, make me clean. Again, I go back to Peter as an example, as this man also, we must also come to the same place and the same understanding. We must recognize our disease. Too many times we want to walk around saying, I have no issue. We talked about this today in Sunday school, and it's a very pointed discussion. There's only one reason why we are not doing what we're not doing, and it's because we're disobedient to God. Now you can make every excuse you want. I can make every excuse I want to. But it boils down to one thing. Disobedience. You can chalk it up however you want. We laid it out this morning in Sunday school. You could say, well, I don't have enough training to go talk to people. Well, the Bible says that God will give you the right words to speak. So there's your excuse for that. Well, I'm too tired. Well, the Bible says that God will give you the right rest. And the Bible's already taken care of all of our excuses. Just Jesus already took care of all your excuses. So you're excuse free. So the reason that you're not doing it is because you're disobedient, because the Bible says, go ye into all the nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing unto all the people. And Jesus has already commanded us that if we are believers in Him, to go. And so if we won't, we're disobedient. It's that simple. It's sinful. It's sin. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I can't believe you just said that. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. We need to say that more often from the pulpit. We need to call it what it is. It is sin. And until we fall before on our face before Almighty God and ask for the cleansing of our sin, we are going to continue to have trouble. Until we fall on our face before God and ask for a cleansing of our sin, we are going to continue to have trouble. Listen to what happened. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him, saying, I will be made clean. And immediately the disease departed from him. And so here's what we've done. We've asked Christ to cleanse us from our sin. And Jesus has done that. We've come to the altar. We've come before. We've walked down the aisle. We've asked Jesus Christ to make us whole, to cleanse us and to forgive us and to give us salvation. And Jesus has done that. And he's made us whole. And we said, thank you, Lord. We appreciate all that you've done for us. And Christ has made us clean. And then Jesus said, go and do what Moses has commanded you. That was the command that Jesus gave to this guy. Go and do what Moses commanded you. Now, I've read this passage of Scripture a whole lot of times. Maybe you have too. It dawned on me the other day when I was looking at this. What the real problem is with the guy when he didn't go and tell the Pharisees, when he didn't do what Jesus told him to. First of all, he was disobedient. That's the first problem. He was disobedient. But it dawned on me, I had a thought, and the thought is that in his disobedience, what happened? What potentially happened in his disobedience? See, this is the first guy, this is the first person to be healed of leprosy. It's interesting when you read, and we've been studying through the book of Leviticus, and when you read the book of Leviticus, you'll find that Jesus, that God gives a clear set of guidelines to what happens when somebody is cured of leprosy. Now, it's interesting that it's in the book of Leviticus, because nobody is ever cured of leprosy. Nobody. I mean, there's this guideline in the book of Leviticus about how to be cured of leprosy, but what happens when you're cured of leprosy, but nobody's ever cured of leprosy. Nobody's ever seen it. Until who comes? Jesus. It's just like when the blind guy gets healed, and the blind guy says, has anybody ever seen one born blind ever healed by from birth? Been healed? And everybody goes, no. Then the blind guy goes, Jesus must be God. And they're like, well, you're too smart for us. We're kicking you out of church. And they excommunicated the guy. I mean, really? That's what you do with a guy that gives you... And so Jesus says to this guy, he says, go and do everything that's prescribed by Moses and show yourself to the priest. Now, here's what goes on. The purpose of that, I believe, was so that when he went to the priest, he was going to prove to the priest who Jesus was. because that healing was more miraculous than any of the other healings that Jesus was going to do. And the priest would have known that that would have had to come from God. But through his disobedience, the priest's hearts were hardened even more. Now you say, well, why do you tell us all that? Have, through your disobedience and not doing what God has told you to do, have you caused other people's hearts to be hardened? Have, through your disobedience, you caused other people's hearts to be hardened? See, Jesus said to this man, you go and you show yourself. And what he did is he made Jesus' ministry harder. He didn't make it easier. He made it harder. Because the Bible says that Jesus now couldn't go to towns openly because of what this guy did. More people came to Jesus because they just wanted the healing. They just wanted from Jesus. They didn't want the true message. They just wanted stuff. What are you looking for today? Are you looking for the stuff or are you looking for the true message? The true message from Jesus is love and compassion. But the true message from Jesus also is the release from Satan and the love of Christ. The true message of Jesus is forgiveness of your sins, but it also requires that you fall into discipleship. The true message of Jesus is the freedom from Satan, but it also means that you must walk in the path of Christ. The true message of Jesus means that we have to not cheapen grace, but stand in the full power of grace. The full power of the amazing grace of Christ. This man here cheapened the grace that God gave to him. The grace that Jesus gave to him, he cheapened that. Jesus said, I am willing that you be made clean. And when he was made clean, he immediately disobeyed God. Maybe you're thinking in yourself. Maybe you're thinking in your life that God has spoken to you about something. That God has said to you to do something, and you've refused to do it. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that you could just have that, as we might call it, fire assurance. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He laid in the grave for 3 days to defeat death, and he rose again so that we would have eternal life, being the firstborn of all creatures, ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, so that we could have eternal life. He gives us an example to follow as he walked through and as we see in the New Testament. What kind of life are you walking? Are you walking a life that is obedient to Christ? a life that is in submission to Him? Or are you walking a life that's in disobedience to Him? Any life that rejects what God is telling you to do is disobedient to Him. I want to ask you a question and we're going to close. I know this is odd, but it's where we are. Where do you find your relationship with Christ? Where do you find your relationship with Christ? Do you find your relationship with Christ in a place that you can truly say, listen clearly, do you find your relationship with Christ that you can truly say, I am being obedient with Him? Do you find your relationship with Christ in a place that you know that you're not being obedient with Him? I'm going to pray here in a minute. And as Linda comes and plays, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head, and if you feel led, you want to come, you just come up here and pray. I want you to just come. If you feel that your life is not where it needs to be, if you feel that your life is not in the place of obedience where God wants it to be, and you want your life to be in that place of obedience, that it needs to be in that place of obedience. We all need our life to be in that place. God calls us to have a life that's in obedience to Him. There's no way that our life is going to get there without first surrendering to Him. Are you willing to surrender to Him? See, Peter surrendered. That's what Peter did when he got off the boat. He left everything and he surrendered. This man came and he bowed before Christ and he said, take this disease from me. He surrendered the disease, but then he was disobedient after he surrendered the disease. Christ was willing, he was willing, but then he was disobedient. Are you willing to be obedient today and surrender to Christ? I want to call you to come and surrender to Christ this morning. Surrender everything to Him. When we do that, you'll be amazed at what God does in your life. Our great Father, as we come and decide to surrender to You this morning, God, would we just fall on our face before You? Lord, just speak to us this morning. Come, if God's speaking to you, you just come. You just come. Pray at the front. God speaking to you. You just come. Just come, let God release it. Release it all to God this morning. You're trying to hold back, that's just the devil. Let God have it all. You just come, lay it out for Him, let Him have it. You just come this morning, come on. Morning and you don't know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Maybe you're trying to seek to find a different way to get to heaven. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is it. I would invite you to come this morning and say, I want to know Jesus. Let me show you what the Word says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Too late to come. It's not too late to come. Father, we thank You that You are our Lord in our life and in our hearts. We thank You that You have paid the price for us at the cross, and we thank You that You give us all that we have. Lord, as we each have contemplated the question of where we stand with You, of whether we'll surrender all to You or whether we'll hang on to what we have. Well, Lord, will You speak to each and every one of us? Lord, I know that you're moving in each heart. You're working in each heart. You're convicting in each heart. Lord, will we listen? Will we listen? We thank you, Lord. And we praise you. In your great precious name. Amen.